North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right. Start off by telling you I'm a non-attorney spokesperson who wants to sell you a pocket catheter. Call 1-800-547-4170. That's 1-800-547-4170. That's 1-800. Never mind. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho Radio, and NorthIdahoRadio.com. I've been asked to remind you that you can catch up on shows you might have missed by simply going to NorthIdahoRadio.com and just, you know, hit on the archives, and you can listen to any show that last week, the week before, yesterday. Yesterday was fun. You know, people we'd like to see come to the festival at Sandpoint. Today would have been, it's August 6th, the festival would have been our kickoff date of our 38th annual festival at Sandpoint, would have been this evening. And we had it booked. I can't tell you who it was because they're probably coming back next year. Yeah. No, we've had several of the artists that were signed for this year who have indicated that they want to come back next year. And we want to have a festival for you next year, and you can help. Yes, you. We are taking donations because right now we can't sell tickets, and we've already sold the season passes for next year, this year. So we need to keep operations going. If you would like to donate, just go to festival@sandpoint.com, and you can sign up your company as a team or just a group of friends or just yourself. If you got $5, whatever, anything will help. Just go to festival@sandpoint.com. Anyway, right now it is Thursday here in North Idaho, so we cleverly call this North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte. We've got a good show for you today. First up, we'll have our monthly visit with Bonner General Health. Today, Daniel Holland will join us once again. He is the BGH Director of Diagnostic Imaging. We'll be talking about how his department's been affected during this current pandemic and what's been happening at BGH this week. By the way, 17 new COVID cases in Bonner County yesterday. That's a huge jump. I mean, heading into July, we had 11 confirmed cases in Bonner County. 8 of them were not active, and we are now at 171 since July 1st. 4 new ones in Boundary County yesterday, so Boundary County still doing pretty good. Governor Brad Little held his press conference an hour ago. I'll tell you about it in a moment. So Daniel will be our guest in the first second. Second segment, we'll welcome back Claire Christie with the Ponderay Arts Council. Of course, their annual Arts and Crafts Fair is coming up this weekend in downtown Sandpoint. We'll give all the details on that. And in our final segment today, we'll be chatting with Jay and Elva from Bonner's Ferry Pupusira? Yeah, I'm saying it wrong. Anyway, Pupusas, the national dish of El Salvador and more. That's a restaurant in Bonner's Ferry. Sounds like a very tasty subject. But first, Brad Little, press conference an hour ago down in Boise. And he said, obviously, this morning, that Idaho will remain in the fourth and final stage of his plan to reopen during the pandemic for at least another 2 weeks as coronavirus infections and deaths show no sign of slowing down in our state. Excuse me. You can go online and watch the press conference if you'd like. But basically, he did say that the state has sufficient healthcare workers, personnel, protection equipment, ventilators, and ICU beds. He emphasized that millions of dollars are being spent to make sure schools can safely reopen this fall. Of course, every school district in different counties throughout the state are making their own guidelines. What's safe in Boundary County may not be safe in Ada County, for example, two complete opposites of what's going on with COVID there. So some places may be able to open fully, some be different levels. So we'll just keep an eye on that in the next week or two and see what's happening in our two counties up here. So there's $10 million being donated for additional mask, gloves, sanitizer, plexiglass for Idaho schools. They're helping with $48 million in the computer program, so the kids have to go to online learning if they don't have a computer, try to get one in their hands. $21 million toward COVID testing for teachers and school staff, and on and on. Also, he'll call a part-time legislator back to a special session in late August due to coronavirus pandemic. He'll announce more on that in the next week, but I think it's the 24th is the plan to have that special session. So a lot going on there, a lot going on here on the show today. We'll get to Daniel Holland from BGH right after this.
Now is the time to gear up and get those summer projects taken care of. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, stop by the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Hi, this is Rich from White Cross Pharmacy and Compounding. A former Surgeon General once said, "Drugs don't work for people who don't take them." This drives home that taking medications as directed is the only way to get the maximum benefit. Good adherence means better health and can even mean taking fewer medications. At White Cross Pharmacy, we have free adherence and synchronization programs. Combine these with our compliance packaging options, and White Cross can simplify your medication regimen. Find a White Cross in Priest River, Sandpoint, and Spirit Lake, serving North Idaho since 1922.
When it's 3 p.m., Jess and Renee both want an afternoon treat. So they go to McDonald's for icy cool frozen drinks and Minute Maid slushies. Only Jess's favorite is frozen Coke, while Renee's is pink lemonade slushy. But it's cool. They respect each other's choice. It's not just a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Make your summer pop with a Minute Maid slushy, frozen Coke, or frozen Fanta, like wild cherry and blue raspberry. Starting at $1.59. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
Hey, Sarah, want to join me for a walk?
Sure. How far are you going?
Oh, just down the street, up the hill, then around the bend, over to the next city, and all the way back. Ready?
Looking for something you actually want? Now when you buy a sausage burrito, a sausage McMuffin, chicken McGriddles, McChicken biscuit, or hash browns, you get one more for a buck. Mix and match them for maximum everyday value. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Jim Parker, Sonny, and the girls heading out in our Subaru Outback for a bike ride around the lake. For control, handling, and confidence, the Subaru Symmetrical All-Wheel Drive System delivers. In the Northwest, that's important.
You can go almost anywhere with Subaru Symmetrical All-Wheel Drive. In slippery conditions, it instinctively sends power to the wheels with the best traction, helping you stay on the road.
If you're looking for safety and technology, Parker Subaru delivers again. The Outback has blind spot detection, anti-lock braking, and EyeSight driver assist. It gets better. At 33 miles per gallon, the Outback is the most fuel-efficient crossover in America.
Hurry into Parker Subaru today for the Subaru A Lot to Love event.
See the Outback at Parker Subaru. Cruise in and finish your research with a test drive. Get all the answers to your questions at your no-problem Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Coeur d'Alene.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
All right, we are back, North Idaho Thursday, here on North Idaho Radio and NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and one of our engineers from Spokane is in here and in Blue Sky Broadcasting today, working on the place, and it's this guy is wearing the T-shirt of the week. It looks like the Straight Outta Compton logo T-shirts, but it says Straight Outta Quarantine. It's pretty cool. Straight Outta Quarantine. That brings us straight into our Bonner General Health segment for this month. Daniel Holland, the Director of Diagnostic Imaging, is with us once again. Daniel, how are you?
Doing well. It's nice to see you, Bob.
So you must have enjoyed your first visit being on the radio, and you're back.
Yeah, got me to come back again.
Yeah, so Kristen Carlson arranges that, and then she goes on vacation. So here we are. I just talked about Brad Little, Governor Brad Little's press conference from an hour ago, and we're staying in phase four of his mm-hmm. reopen plan, obviously. Mm-hmm. Things have been going the opposite way of what everyone was hoping and expecting. Sure. Things have been busy at BGH. 17 new cases yesterday.
So I think we're following in Bonner County somewhere around 45 to 60 cases right now.
Okay.
So it's not, it's, we've seen a little bit of a drop in current cases, but cases are still kind of fluctuating and going that direction. I was on a call yesterday with the Panhandle Health District, and you know, they estimate there's, you know, 130,000 tourists that are in North Idaho right now. So
guarantee it.
So, you know, having all those new people coming in all the time definitely makes a difference for controlling something like this as well.
And it's not necessarily like they're sick and they're coming here on purpose. They could be asymptomatic.
For sure.
A lot of kids would test positive who have zero symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they give it to you, who give it to your parents, and then it could, it's not good.
Yeah. And you know, the masks, they do definitely help protect against droplet precaution, which is kind of what we're calling this now. As of last Tuesday, there was some information that came out that coming out of some research hospitals, including the lead epidemiologist was from University of Washington. So it's kind of our parent, hospital as far as putting together policy.
Mm-hmm.
And with it being droplet, that's what the research is showing. It means it's not floating around in the air.
Okay, because that has come and gone, that theory, over the last few months.
Yep. So having it being droplet, masks do make a difference, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you have to maintain, though, is a clean surface on the front of your mask. It means if you're touching it with your hands, you need to go wash your hands afterwards, and that will really help.
Yeah, I totally get it. I just know that, you know, I honestly wasn't wearing a mask around town at first,
mm-hmm.
you know, about last March and April.
Sure.
I was like, you know, I had several doctors from BGH on. I mean, I was live every day for 9 weeks, and I think we probably had every doctor at BGH in here at one time or another. And it just didn't seem that serious in Bonner and Boundary County, but things have really changed. I just know personally, like when I go to the grocery store, I wear a mask, and I just feel more confident,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else,
yep.
just psychologically. It's like, you know, I'm not risking my life to go buy that cereal today.
And the one thing, I emphasize it again, that I don't think is being emphasized nationally as well as it should have, is hand hygiene to go along with wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all the time, people itching their face, people adjusting their masks because it's not quite in the right spot. I've been telling everyone that I come in contact with, think of the front of your mask like it has raw chicken on it.
Ew.
What would you do if you touched it, if it had raw chicken on it? You would immediately go and wash your hands. And if you couple that with wearing a mask, it's going to be much more effective.
Well, I know our engineer Derek would probably take the raw chicken and throw it in a frying pan.
You know, some of the other positives that I do feel like are coming out of everything that's happening right now is,
as I touch my face, just a natural thing.
I know. You actually start thinking about it, realize how much you do touch your face, right? But regionally, there's a lot of great coordination that's been happening, whether it's between the Panhandle Health District, us, the other five northern hospitals. There's a lot of coordination that's being done to make sure that, A, we have capacity to take care of people,
mm-hmm.
and B, that we're able to still maintain services, because cancer's not waiting for COVID. You know, these major traumas don't wait for COVID.
The emergency department needs to remain open for the summertime emergencies.
Yep. And we still need to make sure that if someone has a palpable lump somewhere, that we can put a needle in that and make sure we get you into your whatever treatment plan you need as well.
Yeah.
Because delaying those sorts of care can make the difference for people as well.
And we've noticed, if you drive around the neighborhood of McDuff's Beer Hall and BGH, and in there you've set up a new testing drive-through station. How's that working out?
Seems like it's going really well. So now we're testing Monday through Friday. We have a drive-through kind of set up on the west side of the HSB building, which is the newer building,
mm-hmm.
with the catwalk that attached to the hospital. So the cars can kind of line up. They can roll through, get roadside tested, and then be on their way. And it's all scheduled now.
Yeah, you'd have to make mm-hmm. that appointment.
Yep.
So it's not a big line going on all at one time and overwhelming the hospital potentially.
Yes.
And again, a reminder that if you have been exposed on, like, I don't recommend you go to a party or anything like that, but if you do and somebody there tests positive, or you'd been in a bar or restaurant and your server then tests positive, you feel like you need to be tested, don't go that day or the next day. You want to wait 3, 4, or 5 days.
Yep. They're saying about 5 days is that kind of that perfect window to, if you are going to be positive, to have enough viral load, so enough virus in your system in order to actually test positive.
You don't want to go and test immediately. It'll test negative when you actually have it.
So. And the ordering providers in the area have been wonderful to work with. They've really hopped on board with all the policies and really are helping and championing, making sure that we're testing people at the right time as well.
That's great. You are the Director of Diagnostic Imaging. How has your department been involved through all of this?
So, you know, you have kind of two different subgroups of patients. You have patients with mild to moderate symptoms, and kind of a real base of that is a chest x-ray. Whether that's a patient that's sitting in an isolation room inside the hospital, in the ER, or someone who's mildly symptomatic that we are now, for the first time ever, taking x-rays outside, either in their car or underneath cover, so that we can limit the amount of exposure of patients coming into the hospital. Never would have thought that we'd be taking x-rays out in a parking lot, but you know what? We're trying to be adaptive, make sure we're taking care of people, and making sure we're, you know, maintaining people who come into the hospital need to come in the hospital. People who don't, we can try to make sure we take care of them outside. Then you also have your kind of more moderate to severe symptomatic patients who, you know, have clotting problems or have lung scarring that we're checking out with lung CTs and echocardiology as well. So that's kind of the basis of the types of patients that we're taking care of when it comes to radiology as a whole and the modalities that we're using. But we're also making sure that all our modalities are open. We're seeing patients in every modality, making sure that we're not putting gaps in patients' care and just trying to do it responsibly.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people through this, you know, last 5-6 months, they're thinking, well, I've got a schedule for my dentist just for regular cleaning. I really don't need it right now. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's time for my yearly eye exam. Do I really feel safe doing that? Not like that dentist or that eye clinic is not keeping everything as sanitary as humanly possible, but they're just staying away from those types of things, right? Just generally with the general public. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people who might be nervous about if they need those x-rays, but they don't want to go to the hospital?
First and foremost, that's a pretty personal decision. Definitely confer with your ordering providers, you know, talk to the people that are involved in your care, making sure that it is the right time to do that for you and that individualized situation. But overall, I think it's very safe to come into the hospital. To be honest, with the fact that we have everybody masked, whether that's a patient or an employee, with the amount of additional cleaning and contact precaution that we're taking, it's probably one of the safer environments that you're going to be walking within. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of people that maybe don't get the recognition that are really doing an amazing job, like patient registration, who are screening patients, talking to people right when they walk in. We have door greeters now that are screening people before they come into the hospital to make sure.
Gosh, that has to be one of the main concerns is
100%.
You know, when people are like, do I want to go in that door?
Yep. And then you have our environmental services department that is doing an incredible job cleaning. You know, it really is a total team effort to make sure we're able to keep our doors open, make sure it's safer for people to come in.
Yeah, I mean, it's the hospital.
Yep. We have to be there.
The reason it smells the way it smells is like it's disinfected.
That's right.
So what about like regular surgeries and stuff back on track? I know that when all of this was going on and we really didn't know what was going to happen in Bonner or Boundary County, everything kind of came to a stop for a few 4 or 5 weeks.
Like, elective procedures were halted. We are doing elective procedures now. You are required to get COVID tested prior to your procedure.
Sure.
But as long as that's coming back negative, then you can remain on your normal schedule. If it comes back positive, then there's a protocol in place for how long you have to delay that surgery for.
Gotcha. Yep. Interesting stuff. Anything else coming up in your department or at BGH we should know about?
Anything else coming up?
I mean, usually there's a department of the month or something like that. I guess that's a good question for Kristen.
For us, I know Breast Cancer Awareness Month's coming up in October.
Oh, gotcha.
We usually would do some mammo screening parties on the weekend. Those are going to be canceled this year, sadly.
Darn, they're so much fun.
I know, right?
Just kidding.
So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that, I guess.
Yeah. So, again, if you're not feeling well or you think you've been exposed to somebody who has tested positive, the thing to do is you need to contact your primary care physician or call BGH or the Panhandle Health Department.
Yep.
Talk to somebody about it. They still have their hotlines going at both BGH and Panhandle Health, and they can walk you through the procedure, make the appointment, come on in, and get tested. What type of testers is BGH employing right now? You're still doing the nasal swab? Or
yes, still doing the nasal swab, and it's highly accurate. It gets down to the molecular level, which does mean that it can pick up very minimal amounts of COVID RNA.
Gotcha.
And actually, technically, would be able to pick up dead COVID RNA as well, which meaning you could be, let's say you had COVID a month ago and still carrying that dead RNA, not necessarily still sick or even symptomatic or even shedding, it still could pick up that as well. It's a very sensitive test.
That's very good to know, because we've had some conversations around here, people thinking, I think I've already had it. It was very mild, but I didn't feel well, last June for a few weeks, and now I'm okay. It's got to be more common than people are hearing about.
I think so as well.
Yeah. Daniel Holland, thanks for joining us once again.
All
the great work you guys do at BGH. We are so lucky to have you and Boundary Community Hospital in Bonners Ferry and you guys working in concert together to help the folks here in North Idaho keep together and get through this.
I appreciate it very much, Bob.
All right. We are going to take our second break. When we come back, Claire Christie from Pondere Arts Council is with us. Of course, the Arts and Crafts Fair is coming up this weekend. One of the very few events happening in our area that you could actually, I think, safely pull off and enjoy it. And people want to get outside and do something fun, help out local artists and stuff. So we'll be talking about that right after this.
Hello, this is Dan Clark at Clark's Diamond Jewelers in beautiful downtown Coeur d'Alene. Clark's has helped men of all ages find the perfect diamond to get engaged since 1907. And downtown Coeur d'Alene has been the romantic hub of the region for at least that long. As a matter of fact, there was a train an hour that came from downtown Spokane to downtown Coeur d'Alene by 1910, bringing carloads of people from all around the Inland Empire to shop downtown, picnic in the park, and play on the lake. Many fell in love here and chose to be married here. It became very popular to elope while visiting Coeur d'Alene. Imagine that. At Clark's, we are extremely fortunate and thankful to have weathered the economic tides for all these 113 years. And I count my blessings every day. To still be here working with my brilliant and talented daughter, Jeweler Jane, is a dream come true. And hopefully, one day, with the help of one of her grandkids, they will celebrate Clark's 200th anniversary. So while in beautiful downtown Coeur d'Alene, stop into Clark's Diamond Jewelers and help us celebrate 113 years in a perfect setting with store-wide savings.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint wants you to know they're going to great lengths to keep their customers safe. They've installed acrylic shields in the check lanes and the counters are being continually cleaned. For your added convenience, try their shop online service. Just go to superonefoods.net, place your order, and set the time for pickup. When you arrive, your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to one of their parking spaces reserved just for online customers. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Mountain biking is one of the great summer activities in northern Idaho, and it's no secret that the Alpine Shop loves bikes. That's why the Alpine Shop at Schweitzer Mountain is excited to announce they are now offering specialized mountain bike rentals. The Alpine Shop in the Village at Schweitzer is now open Thursday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a whole fleet of mountain bike rentals and apparel. So head on up to Schweitzer Mountain Resort this week and experience the excitement of the mountain on a bike from the Alpine Shop.
Bi-Mart's Summer of Savings continues, turning up the heat on some of our hottest summer deals. Pick up a Magnavox 65-inch 4K TV for only $449.88, or get a Philips 32-inch TV for the low price of only $149.88. And stay in touch with your choice of any one of these powerful Midland radios, only $69.88 each. Get these deals and more by visiting bimart.com and looking for our digital flyers. It's a summer of savings going on now at your Rathdrum Bi-Mart store.
What is grace? What is forgiveness? Are you seeking peace in these troubling times? Pavel Goya, international speaker, author, editor, and pastor, will be answering these questions on August 7th and 8th in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Join us for this free event starting at 6:30 p.m. Friday, 9:30 a.m. Saturday at the Sandpoint Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 2235 Pine Street, right across from Traverse Park.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, we are back, North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte. Once again, I want to remind you that not only are we on KSBT KBFI, but also NorthIdahoRadio.com. You can listen anywhere you go, like if you go out of town or whatever, or maybe you're not getting good reception wherever you are, your office or your home. Just do it online. Or say you want to hear a radio show from the past, like last Monday when Claire Christie was on this radio station with my daughter, Ricky. And she's back with us today. So you could go back and hear that one anytime you want. So you can go home this evening, Claire, and listen to yourself.
Okay. Do that.
If you want to do that. You are with Pondere Art Council, the annual Arts and Crafts Fair downtown Sandpoint, the 48th annual Arts and Crafts Fair. You obviously have not participated in every single one of those.
No.
If you saw her innocent young face right now, you would know that it's just a joke. It's a two-day event occurring one of the busiest weekends of the year in Sandpoint. Of course, today would normally have been the kickoff of the festival at Sandpoint. And I always look forward to the Arts and Crafts Fair going on the same weekend as opening weekend of the festival. It's just always so much going on. There's such a buzz around town. All the businesses so busy. Has it been weird for you guys to, through this pandemic that we're going through, and operating as normal?
Weird to say the least. It's been challenging at times, but I'm glad that we get to go through with it and have at least one event downtown this summer.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the Beer Fest is gone. Scenic Half isn't happening. Most of the summer events, of course, have been postponed or canceled. A lot of the races, though, are going virtual. Pondere Bay Trail just announced that they're doing that. But for you guys at POAC, what was the process of trying to, as you're seeing, you know, the CHAFE 150 being canceled and the festival and so on and so forth, do you guys get together and think, maybe we shouldn't do this?
Every day leading up to the event. I've been using Silverwood as kind of an example, thinking about grocery stores, and I don't think we'll have more people at our event than we would at Silverwood on a Saturday or at the grocery store. So
there is zero social distancing going on at Silverwood, and I would imagine people will be more responsible here at the Arts and Crafts Fair.
We've done our best to encourage it, and we have tons of masks, hand sanitizer.
Oh, good.
If you see a volunteer in a blue apron, they will have hand sanitizer on them and masks on them, so don't be afraid to ask.
That's great to know, because as you've seen in your offices right in the heart of downtown, so many people from out of town are in Sandpoint right now. I think record numbers, especially with no Canadians.
Yeah.
None. I mean, it's all these people from out of state, out of the area, and so very few of them are wearing masks. So I think a lot of locals are wearing masks. So hopefully, you know, at the Arts and Crafts Fair, they will wear the masks, especially if those people in the blue apron start handing them out to folks, and it's just keep everybody safe. As far as the artists themselves, is setup going to be just as normal, or do you guys have to make some adjustments, or how's that going to work?
We did a few adjustments. We put at least 5 feet of space between each booth, and no kids' booth or face painting this year.
Dang it. Me and Derek love that.
We limited the food vendors down to just two, and there's no eating area. So when you get your lunch, you can find a bench or a nice piece of grass somewhere. And
who are the two food vendors?
We've got Jupiter Jane's Traveling Cafe and Azar's Greek Food, who comes every year.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Love the Greek food. As far as the artists themselves, are you having the same number as the last few years, or did anybody drop out, or additions, or how was the response there?
Last year, I think we had 108, and I'm sitting just above 90, so not a huge difference, but it's a lot more locals this year.
Gotcha.
People aren't traveling, so you'll see a lot more Idaho vendors this year.
I don't have any problem with that.
Me either.
I think that's great. that's wonderful stuff. I love the Randy Wilhelm's booth. I go there every year, and every year I try to buy a new painting. Last year was the Herald's IGA.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, and I have the Hoot Owl one from the year before. So just, he does a great job. So many of the artists do. And anything new this year to look forward to?
We have a lot of wood vendors this year, which is interesting. We've got some cool yard art that will be coming, some metal yard art that I'm really excited to see. And a lot of people are returning, a lot of longtime vendors. You'll see them too.
Great. And then you suggest, there's farmers market going on in the city parking lot. And then, of course, you take over the streets, and they're already, the temporary no parking signs are up there for starting tomorrow evening,
yes.
Correct? And I guess you guys set up in the evening to be ready to go Saturday morning. Where do you suggest people who can't bike or walk into town park?
In the Granary District area, Army Surplus, there's a large parking lot. It's not too far. It's a couple blocks away.
Yeah. A lot of people don't even think about that as being a public parking, because it's not something, unless you're going like to Matchwood or something, or to Army Surplus.
Right.
So that's a great suggestion. And just in that neighborhood on the street, there's always plenty of parking.
Yes, yes.
And just be careful crossing Fifth Avenue. That's the only thing.
Use the blinky lights when you go across.
And remember, this is just one of my pet peeves. If you're on a bike, if you're riding that bike, you have basically the same rights as a motor vehicle. As far as, if you're in a crosswalk but you're riding your bike, don't flip me off if I don't stop for you, because technically, legally, I can't stop for you. I have to stop for pedestrians.
Right.
So if you're on your bike, you want to cross Fifth Avenue to get to the Arts and Crafts Fair, get off your bike and walk in the crosswalk, and then everybody has to stop for you. At least that's the law. So easy thing to remember. So did you, as far as the food vendors, back to that, did you limit it to just the two on purpose, or are those just the two that signed up?
Normally, we would go seek out mm-hmm. other food vendors, because we have our regulars that come every year, but we just had a few applicants, and we took two, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
As I know, we talked about in the break, and even last time you were on the show, that a lot of us who've been here for a long time just got so used to Arts and Crafts Fair being at City Beach and being on the grass and, being at the beach. But it was rather disruptive to beachgoers,
yes.
And put in such a bottleneck on Bridge Street to get everybody there. And I hadn't even considered the vendors' ease of setting up. I don't think even the vendors thought too much about it until they set up downtown. I was like, that is so cool. I'm parked a half a block away rather than trying to get into City Beach. So has it been positive like that, the reaction with the vendors?
I think so. Some people miss the grass, but for the most part, it's a lot easier to get electrical for the vendors' electrical needs.
Good point.
Downtown. And it's flat, even ground, so wheeling stuff in is much easier than pulling it along the grass mm-hmm. off the beach.
Has accepting cash at an event like this been an issue this year? Because I know there's some grocery stores that say, we're not taking cash because of coin shortages and for health reasons. Is that a subject that's come up with the Arts and Crafts Fair?
I haven't heard much from my vendors about it. It's up to them individually how they'd like to take payment.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't heard much about it.
And most of them, I would say, in the last 5 years have gone to credit cards anyway, get that little doohickey that slips into their laptop and
shoop,
the way to go. So
that
is definitely the way to go. And speaking of the way it's going to go weather-wise, it looks like it's going to cooperate for you guys. A little bit of rain off and on today, cloudy, and then cooler for the next few days. So that's a welcome relief compared to the near triple digits we've had.
Yes, I think it'll be much more comfortable for everyone this year. The chocolate candy items will be safer. The glass will be, you can touch it maybe, not so hot.
Your rubber sandals won't be melting,
yes.
And stuff like that. Well, that's great. Of course, I was just thinking, Lost in the 50s, and of course, the festivals we've mentioned a few times, and just all the other events that we're all so used to every summer. It's great that POAC is able to pull off the 48th annual Arts and Crafts Fair. It's happening this Saturday and Sunday. Just be smart and safe distance, and everything should be absolutely fine. And I think everybody's kind of chomping at the bit to go to something fun and not just do the same old thing every day. So what are your hours and all of that?
Saturday is 9 to 5. Sunday is 9 to 4.
Yeah. So it should be a really fun weekend downtown. Just prepared to go to Farmer's Market. If Farmer's Market kind of scares you because of the crowds, you could actually walk around the perimeter and see the booths just fine. And if there's something you like, put on your mask and go on there and purchase it. And then go see all the arts and crafts and a couple of food booths at the POAC Annual Arts and Crafts Fair. Claire Christie, thanks for all you do for the community. And thanks especially for coming back on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We'll do it again sometime. Oh, just real quick. Have you guys talked about other events coming up in the near future, or what's the near future look like for POAC?
Mostly the visual arts exhibits for the rest of the year. All of our performing arts are postponed till 2021.
Gotcha.
But we will have some visual art exhibit shows going on at Columbia Bank Plaza and the Powerhouse. So those will be coming up in the fall.
Very good. Claire, thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend. We'll probably see you out there.
Thanks, you too.
All right. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, switch gears, we'll be talking to a couple from Bonner's Ferry, talk about their fairly new restaurant and what they're serving there. And it's going to be interesting stuff, so stick around.
Taylor and Sons.
Taylor and Sons
Chevrolet. Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor and Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. Taylor and Sons wants to make it clear to our customers that it's not just business as usual at Taylor and Sons. The way we sell and fix cars and trucks at Taylor and Sons has changed. I want to take the time to highlight some of the things you can expect when doing business with Taylor and Sons during our new normal. When servicing with Taylor and Sons, expect our employees to clean all touch points prior to entry and after we've completed your service. Expect every time a Taylor & Sons employee enters your vehicle that they will be wearing gloves, and protective coverings will surround your steering wheel and seating area. Expect a customer lounge that is cleaned multiple times daily or hourly, depending on number of people. Expect conscientious employees respecting your space and theirs. Finally, expect the same quality service you've received from our family's business for over 30 years. Contactless pickup and drop-off available? Check with your advisor. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Hi, Jim here from the Pondere Winery. Summer is in full swing in Sandpoint, and we're excited to announce August's Wine of the Month, our 2018 Syrah. This beautifully handcrafted wine is made with grapes carefully selected from vineyards in the Yakima Valley and Horsehaven Hills. It's a highly approachable wine and pairs perfectly with many different barbecue options. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, 12 to 8, for wine and dine in or takeout options. Our tasting room is located at 301 Cedar Street in downtown Sandpoint. The Pondere Winery, proudly serving our community for the past 25 years.
Woods Hay & Grain is your source for a wide selection of fresh and locally grown livestock and animal feed. They offer the convenience of buying in bulk, and they are now offering some of their great products in pellets or crumbles. Right now, when you buy a bag of Mega Layer, you can get a second bag of pellets or crumbles for 50% off. That's right, buy one, get one for 50% off. For more information, visit Woods Hay & Grain on Facebook or stop by their feed store just 5 miles north of Pondere on Highway 95. Woods Hay & Grain.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong, or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your drivers and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. That's 800-281-0266.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back here on North Idaho Radio and NorthIdahoRadio.com. KBFI, Bonner's Ferry, KSPT in Sandpoint. It's North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte. And from Bonner's Ferry, we have Jay Carr.
Hello.
And Elva Cepeda with us today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there loud and clear. You guys own a restaurant you opened last November in Bonner's Ferry. Bonner's Ferry Pupusaria?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that correct? What, Jay or Elva, jump in here and tell us, what is pupusa?
Well, pupusa is a traditional dish for my country, El Salvador. Everywhere you can find over there.
Yeah.
And this is the pupusa, is the main something with pork, bean, and cheese. We use corn flour.
Okay.
And we have just a pork and bean, spinach and bean, and cheese and bean. That's the kind we have right now. In the future, maybe I make more flavors. But for now, it's only that. It's something you can eat and for breakfast, brunch, lunch, and dinner. This is a really good dish.
So, Jay, describe, people just heard all that.
Yeah, so basically,
what exactly are we looking at?
Yeah, it's just like a stuffed corn flour that's around, like, you know, 8-inch round, and we stuff in pork, beans, and cheese. That's my favorite.
Gotcha.
Yeah, inside it's, everything's hand-cooked, and there's nothing like it around here, I can tell you right now.
I guarantee that.
I'm prejudiced, but they're very good. I eat them for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Doesn't matter. And my wife makes mashed potatoes, macaroni salad, and guacamole and chips. Wonderful. Best I've ever had.
Wow, that is great to know. So you guys met in the Bay Area in California, then you moved to Bonner's Ferry. Did you also just move here in the last year?
Yeah, we just moved from San Francisco May 4th of 2019, and then we were up and running at Bonner's Ferry Pupusaria down in downtown Bonner's Ferry November 15th of last year.
So how did you end up from San Francisco to North Idaho?
Well,
I ask everybody on the show that.
Well, Elva and I realized we wouldn't be able to afford to retire in San Francisco.
Are you kidding? No one can afford to live there. My oldest daughter went to college in San Francisco, and it darn near destroyed me.
But we really love we feel blessed that we ended up here. I don't know how it happened, but I just had my real estate agent look at a few states, and this got narrowed down really fast. And we were supposed to look at two other states, and Elva ended up having lunch at the chicken shop with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had her trapped. She's not going anywhere.
So why Bonner's over Sandpoint or Libby or
We like
similar
the small
towns.
Town vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time in San Francisco. I had a business in San Francisco, pest control business, and I lived in Pacifica for a while. And
sure.
I like it's similar to Pacifica. California.
Interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. How was your first winter?
I heard it's mild. I spent six or 7 years in Exeter, New Hampshire. I was ready for it, but I was worried about Elva, of course.
Well, that was my next question, you know, being from El Salvador. How many years did you live in El Salvador before you moved to California?
Oh, maybe 3 years.
Oh, okay.
3 years.
And then ended up in the Bay Area and then came up here. Were you happy to leave San Francisco or were you nervous? Or?
Well, this is another adventure in my life.
Yeah, sure.
My first adventure is came to America.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is something, another adventure.
Yeah.
It's living big cities like San Francisco. Everything is closed. Everything you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And we move in a small town. But this is a beautiful town. I feel peace.
That's good.
Something we don't have. You have a very busy life.
Yeah.
And now it's a little slowly. Slow. Peace.
Everybody knows each other?
And yes. Everybody knows. People are friendly.
Yeah.
And we fell in love with Bonner's Ferry.
That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah, we want to retire here.
Yeah.
Bonner's. Yeah, we want to retire.
Well, I think you're well on your way to doing that. Like you said, this is very unusual food for this area. How has it been welcomed in Bonner's Ferry? What did people think?
Well, I'll be honest. We have a marketing roadblock. I mean, a lot of people don't know what a pupusaria is.
I didn't
pupusas.
Know until
right.
We got scheduled to be on the show. I'm
the,
completely
the city
honest.
Kids coming in, they know what it is right away.
Oh, good.
You know, even the older people with smartphones and PhDs, they still don't know what it is. So it's an age thing, I think. You know, urban versus rural. You know, But the food's great. We have craft beers as well and smoothies, and it's great for kids, sit-down service. You know, it's a great place.
So how has the reaction been? Has it been, I mean, are you getting enough business, or you wish that more people knew about
we're
you?
We're like the stock market. We go up and down, but we're climbing a little bit. But we're not here to get rich, you know.
No, you don't come to North Idaho to get rich. Most people don't.
But it's just, we've been greeted very warmly here.
Good.
And it's just a great place. We're very lucky to be here.
So besides the pupusas, what else do you guys serve at the restaurant?
We have American food, and we have like a people they can choose. They have a choose. They have my pupusas, dishes for Salvador, or they can make a order for American food. We have burritos, ocean cold burritos, and we have what do you have?
We make egg scrambles. You know, we make a bagel, sausage, cheese sandwich with onions. That's pretty good.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And the steak burritos are great. And a lot of our stuff comes with a side dish for free. So. It's pretty good. We're a little bit pricey for Bonner's Ferry, but the food is really good.
So what is like your pork pupusa? How much is it? Just curious.
You can get 2 for $11. It'll fill you up. Two for $11.
It's not pricey.
Maybe
compared to a hamburger or something, it might be. But
you can get 2 bean and cheese pupusas for $9 plus tax, and a glass of water, full table service, $9 plus tax.
So a guy like my size would probably eat 2 pupusas.
Yeah, most adults need 2 pupusas, yeah.
Derek would probably need 5 or 6. Just guessing. Just making fun of our engineer, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. Mashed potatoes are great. I mean, she makes American food better than Irishmen, I'm telling you. The macaroni salad is it's
hey,
the
now,
best
wait
I've
a minute.
Ever had.
Well, in 1992, I started work for Convalescent Home.
Okay.
I work in the kitchen. And my boss is a chef before, and I learned from him a lot of stuff. From him, I learned to make the macaroni salad.
Okay.
And a lot of American food. I don't know American food before that.
Mm-hmm.
But in that place, it's the place I learned it too.
Well, according to your husband here, you've obviously learned it very, very well. Where exactly are you guys located in Bonner's Ferry?
We're downtown Bonner's Ferry in the old Creamery building,
which
is across the street from the post office.
Okay.
We're nestled between Tom Bushnell's law office and Glennon Novinger's music school.
Okay.
Right in between.
Yeah, very familiar with that neighborhood. And your hours of operation, days of the week?
Monday through Thursday, 11 to 6. And Friday, Saturday, we stay open a little later, 11 to 9. So if you want to come down for a little later dinner.
So are you two the type that are there every opening hour?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how your restaurateurs do that.
We're always at the store shopping. She's always looking for a deal. We have no life. It's just
This is a very good life. You two seem very, very happy and love the product that you do. So you get people out there to try it. You do food to go as well as sit down.
Oh yeah, sure, no problem. Food to go. You can call in if you're on a schedule. Call us, text us, and once you text us, I put your name in so I know who I'm dealing with, and we can have the food ready for you whenever you want. And the other thing is, make sure you call, because even if it says we're closed, a lot of times we're like shackled there and we'll still make you some dinner. You know?
Very good to know. So it's kind of have been a very interesting year to open a new business and move to a new place. And then who would have predicted 2020 would be like this? You guys get through the spring okay?
Yeah, it didn't affect us in Boundary County as much as other places.
No, not at all.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I just feel sorry for the kids. They're not going to I hope all the kids can get back to school. You
absolutely.
Know? I'm really concerned about the children's future.
Yeah, and kids and their sports really need to be happening.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what Brad Little's press conference was all about today. He's doing everything he can that everybody can. But it's going to be up to the Boundary County School District,
right.
Which is a lot safer than probably just about any other county in our state. So
sure.
That's good news for Bonner's Ferry. Also good news for Bonner's Ferry is that Bonner's Ferry Pupuseria is here and open. I definitely, for one, hopefully maybe even this weekend, drive up there and give it a shot, because I've never had it, and I really, really want to try it.
And we're on Facebook. We're all over Facebook, so...
Very good.
Yeah.
Jade, Elva, thanks for joining us today. We'll do it again sometime.
It's a pleasure for us.
All right. That's North Idaho Thursday for this week. We'll be back in here. I'll be back in here next Wednesday. Till then, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.